I'd like to thank everybody for coming out tonight. It always seems to be full when I'm up here, or maybe that's just my nerves. But before we begin, though, we'll speak to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that through his sacrifice, we might know the joy of salvation in our lives. We thank you for this time that we can come together here to preach the word to those who have not heard it yet, or even to those who have heard it but have not accepted it yet. So we thank you for this time, and we ask for your help that we might both be able to deliver our messages properly. In the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, tonight I'm going to start by talking about that last word we were just singing about. The word, it's a very simple word that carries a lot of weight with it. It can reach across every age, every race, every background you have, and every failure you have ever had in your life. That grand word, whosoever. The thing to remember is the Bible doesn't invite a specific class of people to come to be saved. The educated, the uneducated, the respectable, those who are religious, even those who have never cleaned up their life. God's invitation is not narrowed by any classification that we have made. I'm going to start tonight with two short readings from the Bible. But I will say, I tend to use a lot of verses whenever I give a message, because there's nothing that I can say that this book doesn't say better than I can. So the first message I'm going to read is in the book of Joel. It's actually the verse I was reading at the time whenever I was saved. In the book of Joel, in chapter 2, the first part of verse 32, it says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." And now I'm going to move in to the New Testament for a minute, to the book of Romans. Unlike all of you, I've already have these tabbed in my Bible, so I can find them nice and easy. The book of Romans in chapter 10. This is the New Testament, and it quotes that verse that we just read in the book of Joel. Romans 10 and 13. "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." These verses aren't just some nice thought given out in the Bible. Every word in this is the voice of God. And it's a promise to us. God says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So then we have to ask, who's whosoever? The word whosoever should honestly be a humbling word to some of us. The word whosoever tells us that we're not saved because we're different than that sinner, or we're better than that person over there. It's not because my story is better than her story. Whosoever puts every man and woman on the same ground. We are all sinners who are in need of God's mercy. But this verse is also hopeful, really for those same reasons. We are not denied because we are sinners. We're not excluded because of the past that we've had. We're not shut out because of how long we've waited to accept. Whosoever is a word that opens the door wide enough for all of us here. God, when he says whosoever, he is telling you that the invitation, this invitation you're here to hear from us tonight, is not limited by your race, age, gender, past, your education, your social standing. It's not limited by anything. God's word shows us that nobody can honestly say, "I'm too far gone for God to save." The only person who won't be saved is those who do not answer the call. I'm going to flip now to the book of John. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 37 says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me will in no wise cast out. will to me, I will know in no wise cast out. That's a personal message. Him that cometh. Doesn't say anything about cleaning yourself up first. Doesn't say you had to earn your way in. Him that cometh, and he promises, I will in no wise cast out. I've talked to some people who seem to think that God is just waiting to find a reason to deny you. But this verse from Jesus' own mouth tells us the exact opposite. The one who comes will not be cast out. I'm going to flip to the very, very last book in our Bible, the book of Revelation, the very last book, the very last chapter, Revelations 22, Revelation 22, and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That's the last invitation given in this book by God. It tells us, come, whosoever will, freely. God closes his own book with the last calling for an offer of mercy. With all this, though, I want to say, while whosoever encompasses all, I don't want you to think that it diminishes what our sin is. Sin is a very serious matter. God, even though he says whatsoever, has not lowered his standards. It means that God has made a way for sinners. For all sinners to be forgiven, he has made a way. So to understand why whosoever is even possible is because of the truth that whosoever is a sinner and is in need of the Savior. I'm going to, the book of Ecclesiastes, if you're like me, that's one of the harder ones to find in your Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. And then after that, I'm going to read a verse in Isaiah. But Ecclesiastes 7 and 20 tells us, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And then in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, it tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible and me reading them to you is not trying to insult anybody with those verses, but they're written to tell us the truth. God's word tells us that sin is universal. And sin is personal to every one of us. The fact that sin is a very real thing in our lives means we also have to think about the judgment for that sin. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Maybe it doesn't mean as much to you if you don't know your Bible very well, and I honestly don't know it as well as I should. But I don't know how anybody can hear that sentence and not be concerned. After this, the judgment. There's a meeting coming that you can't cancel. There's a court hearing that you can't avoid and a verdict that you can't appeal. If you die in your sins, the issue is settled forever. All are sinners. Judgment is certain. But yet God still says, whosoever shall be saved. So that's what the gospel message that we come here to preach to you is about. God can invite whosoever because of the work that Christ has done for us. The phrase I read, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not a magical phrase. It's not a ritual. It's a cry made from a needy heart to a Savior who is sufficient for us. To call upon the name of the Lord is to come to God through the way that He has provided for us. It's to come through the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledging our need, your need, trusting in His finished work that happened at the cross. The name of the Lord, that speaks of Jesus' character, His authority, His power. To call on Him is to understand your need, not to place your confidence in yourself, but to put it all in Him. I can be very clear. You're not saved by understanding this whole book. I would not be saved if that was the case. And it's not about knowing the answer to every question, because I definitely wouldn't be saved. You're saved when you're a sinner who comes to Christ as your Savior. It literally can sound so simple, it doesn't sound like it's right. The place that puts it well, the well-known story in Acts about the Philippian jailer. If I can find it on my page. I'm just going to read the very last part of this story for people. It says, this is the Philippian jailer. He says, verse 29 in Acts 16. It says, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The simplest answer you can get, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing isn't just acknowledging Him. It's not about agreeing that the Bible is true or Jesus was a real person. It's putting your whole weight, all your cares on Him. It's trusting that Jesus Christ took your place, took the judgment that your sins deserved, and yet offers you forgiveness because of it. God tells us clearly in His own words, multiple places, what Christ has done for us. The book of Romans tells us, but God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Or in 1 Peter 3, it says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. He has done so much for all of us. He's not asking us to clean ourselves up to be saved. While we were yet sinners. That's why Christ died for us. The gospel message doesn't start with what you can do for God, but what God has done for us. Jesus suffered once at the cross for our sins. We're not asked to add anything to that. Christ's suffering for sins was once, and it was sufficient. It says the just for the unjust. He was our substitution. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, took the place of the sinful people, us. He bared the judgment of the guilty. And what does it say His purpose was for this? That He might bring us to God. That's what salvation is. Yes, salvation is about escaping eternity and hell, but that's not all salvation is. It's not about having a better life because you're saved. It's about being brought to God, being reconciled with God, being forgiven by God, being accepted by God. That's why those verses I opened with, the verse I was saved with and where it was quoted, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Don't get it wrong. It's not about, oh, just say this line and you're good. What the line means is come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope. But knowing what this message is, you also have to understand that the gospel message is for right now. Back in the book of Hebrews again, it tells us in Hebrews 3 and 15, "While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation." And then back in Proverbs, written many years before Christ, Proverbs 27 and verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." It can be a very sad and sobering thought to think that there is many people in eternity now, eternity in hell now, who intended to be saved later. There are people who always meant to do it someday. But God's word tells us today. We don't know if we'll get another day. You might not get another gospel message. You might not get another warning. To call upon the name of the Lord should not be a future event for you. It's a present response. He will receive you. The guilty, the helpless, all without excuse. All you need to do is just come to him honestly. He will not leave any of us as we are. The gospel message can give certainty because of one fact. It relies on God's promise, which is Christ's work. The sinner's role is simply to come. Christ's role is to save. He is our living Savior. And our salvation cannot be earned. It is freely given because Christ paid the price. So it comes back to the first verse I read again. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Simple matter of, do you believe that? I'm not asking if you like what it says. I'm not asking, it doesn't sound good to you, but do you believe on it as God's promise? Because if you do believe on that as being the truth from God, then I only have one question, and that's why haven't you called on him? There are many religious people in this world who have never called on the Lord Jesus. There's many people in this meeting who have never called on the Lord Jesus. You can have all the knowledge you want of this book, but if you've never called on him, it all means nothing. If you haven't put your faith and your belief in him, it's all for nothing. There's a big difference between knowing what salvation is and possessing salvation. And all you really need to remember is, if you come, he will receive you. And it's not because we deserve it. It's because he is a Savior. In Hebrews 7, I don't even know where I'm at here. Hebrews 7 and 25, it tells us, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the utmost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. To the utmost, as far as your sin goes, his salvation will go further. As deep of a guilt as you have, his grace is deeper. And no matter what your record in life is, his blood will be sufficient for you. I don't know what it is that stops people. I don't know if it's pride. I don't know if it's not wanting to admit that you might be lost. I'm sure some people are too in love with the sin that they are living in their life. And some are probably scared of what the other people in their life will think. And sometimes, worst of all, it's just, like I mentioned before, they're delaying it. All these things keep us lost. Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. I have it on my pad. I didn't think to mark it here. But it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake this way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." While he may be found, while he is near, he will give mercy, he will abundantly pardon. God is not stingy with his forgiveness. He pardons abundantly because Christ has paid it fully. I want you all to remember, salvation is not based on your feelings. It's based on facts. The fact that Christ died for our sin, was buried, and rose again. Our feelings can change in an hour, in minutes, but Christ's work will never change. All you have to do is come as you are. And when you do, do you know what will happen? You'll be forgiven. You'll be saved. You'll have peace with God. You'll have Christ as your Savior. If you're still without Christ, you are in danger. But you're not without hope. Right now, you're here, hearing the sound of the gospel message. It still gives you time. I'm going to close with the first verse I read again. Joel 2 and 32, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. In Romans 10 and 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray that God might grant it to you tonight that you would hear this, but not only hear it, that you would believe this and call on him.